Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Anna and the Angels. I'm your host, Anna Grace Taylor. It is the 14th of January, if you're listening live. It's my first show of the whole year, so I'm really excited to be back with you. It was nice to take a break over the holidays, but I absolutely love connecting with you in this way. Wherever you are in the world, I hope you're having a good start to the year. I have to say it's been a little introspective still for many of us. So we've had Mercury retrograde, which means that it can be sometimes a challenging time to do communication things like this. So we're just going to affirm that we can all hear each other and we're going to have a wonderful show. But the gift of it is that we go inward, that we look at, you know, the parts of our lives that perhaps are working and not working, the things that are, you know, needing attention in our lives, so that we can really go deeper and then move forward later on. I think that Mercury goes direct on the 25th. So after that, slowly just making our kind of way out of a little bit of hibernation in January into February. And the angels show me the weekly angel readings that I usually do on YouTube. I also do a yearly one that I just posted, and they show me that March is going to be a much more active time for us. So if you're feeling a little bit of pressure, or you're wanting to, you know, make a major start on all of your goals, and things aren't feeling like they're flowing, just be gentle with yourself. Know that the angels are supporting you, but there is also a divine timing, a divine order to all things. And in my guest today, James Gardner, knows that more than many people. He's a very inspiring person who I met probably about 18 months ago, I think, at a class. He's a healer, he's a medium, and he's just released this week his new book, How to Heal from Trauma and PTSD, Your Ultimate Guide to Becoming the Person You Want to Be. And we've spoken for a little while about him being on the show, and so this is the perfect time for him to be on. And actually, it feels very pertinent because a lot of us are still healing those deeper aspects of ourselves, those wounds, those painful things, so that we can create a lighter, happier life for ourselves in 2016. So I'm not going to share too much more about his journey because I want him to share that with you. But it's my pleasure to welcome James to the show. James, are you there?
I'm here, Anna, yes.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me. I'm so grateful. And I'm also really grateful that you are from England too. I get to speak to another person in the UK.
Yeah, you do indeed, yeah. I'm absolutely delighted to be here tonight.
Oh, thank you so much. And there's so many things I could ask you. And I usually actually read someone's bio and, you know, tell people about your experiences and things like that. But I felt like it was most important for you to be able to share that because you have had such a journey and you've really, you know, transformed your life in such a huge way in so many different levels, and it's the reason why you get to write a book and share a book in the way that you have. So for anyone that's curious or has never heard your name before, can you just share a little bit, because I'm sure that you could do it far more justice than I could.
Oh, I don't know about that, but I'll give it a go. My life, yeah, it's been a tumultuous rollercoaster ride, really. When I was five, I'm now 35, I'll be 36 this year. When I was five, I was in a road traffic accident, and I was very badly injured. And I was with both my parents and my baby sister. I had massive head trauma, and I was picked up by the ambulance and taken to hospital, and then I was in a coma, and not expected to live or survive. And
wow.
Luckily I came through that, with brain damage, and doctors said I'd probably be a cab engine in a wheelchair for the remainder of my time. And I've been fortunate to have really strong parents and a really strong and supportive family who have pushed me to get better and to never give up or quit. And through a lot of hard work and determination, yeah, I learned to walk again. I was in a wheelchair, but I went to a school for disabled children and had intensive physio. Yeah, and learned to walk again, and then trying to piece my life back together again, really.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, it, like, you know, a few minutes doesn't really do it justice, does it? But, yeah, so you've really, from a very young age, learnt, you know, that the mind is very powerful and that you have to have determination in order to rebuild your life. And that is a huge part of it, isn't it?
That's where it starts, I mean, like, all the doctors and that, they're like, they look at my leg or my arm and they concentrate on my leg, but my leg doesn't control the rest of my body. My head does, my mind. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So, and so, I mean, obviously, it probably, you know, is simplistic for me to say, but did you find that there was, you know, in, obviously you were really young to start with, so you may not have realised that on a conscious level, but is there a particular memory or a particular moment where you kind of remember being conscious of that and how you really had to, you know, believe and be determined to walk and do all of those things, or did it just happen very gradually for you?
It just happened very gradually, really. Like, I was just so determined and headstrong, and I was told never, there's no such word as can't, and you can't give up and you can't stop. So, yeah, I just, like, pushed myself through. I don't know where that came from, that streak in me, but, yeah, I'm quite ruthless and determined character. So, yeah.
You are, and also you made a good point, though, because if people around you actually say to you from a young age, you know, don't give up and you can do this, I think that has a lot of impact, especially when you're a young child like you were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so whatever age you are, you know, you can really have that fighting spirit. And yeah, and mm-hmm. that has obviously, you know, really shaped the person you are. Of course, I'm sure there's been plenty of times when you'd rather not go through any of it. But I remember you talking to me the other day saying that, you know, you are who you are for a reason, and you do amazing work, James, and you're such a powerful healer, and you're also a great medium. I haven't experienced your sessions yet, but I can just tell, because every time I see your comments and you're studying all the time and you're just constantly learning everything, I just think that you have this courage about you that just says, yeah, I can do it. So when did the spiritual part come in? What happened for you to bring that, or did you always have that?
Oh, bless you for saying all those nice things about me. I'm really touched. The spiritual side of things only really started like a couple of years ago. I think when we first met, that was one of my like first classes, like at the beginning.
Wow.
Sort of thing. Yeah. So this journey's gone really quick in the last couple of years on the spiritual side. Well, I was really determined from a young age, as I said, and I've always been driven and pushed to do the physiotherapy, and I used to go to the gym, like, constantly and have weight training, and then I did more physio, and then I did running, and then I did this and this and this, and then I got so far, and, like, everything seemed to plateau. You must know what I mean. Like, you get so far, and then you feel like you can't go any further. So then I got a bit frustrated, and then I started studying nutrition, and like then through nutrition I like started to make a little bit more progress, but that can only take me so far. And then I started doing Pilates and yoga and those types of things, and a bit of Tai Chi. I remember one week I used to do like Pilates on a Tuesday and go to the gym for weight training on a Wednesday, and then do Tai Chi on a Thursday and yoga on a Friday. So, I mean, that's how much I try and cram in and determined I am. And then from all that, I got to another plateau, and then I started looking at the mind, and obviously I have brain damage. So I started thinking, well, actually, it's my mind that and my brain that is controlling my leg and my arm and everything. So I need to look at that. So then I started expanding my horizons by reading lots of books and going on courses to that side of things, and yeah, meeting people and talking to people and just really expanding my, like, my horizons and the bookshelves I was looking at, to be honest with you.
Wow. And I love that, James, because, you know, I think everyone just sort of thinks, you know, you have really, you know, you have lots of challenges, you kind of dive into everything and you use all kinds of different things. And for me, I guess, you know, for me, it was a whole mixture of things. But I love how for you it was like, okay, I'm going to really be determined and I'm going to work on my body and I'm going to do it this way. And then realizing actually, okay, yeah, it's time for me to open up to more. And then there's another layer and you open yourself up to more. And I think that is a really powerful message, because you can't do it all at once. And yet we also discover these different layers actually work together, don't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, like it's like peeling back layers of an onion. There's like so many layers. And life is a journey and a process, and this is really what I've learned over the last 30 years I've been on this journey, really, like, trying to understand myself, trying to try out different things and, like, learn as much as I can to help me. And now I'm, like, sharing everything I've learned with everyone, because I don't want people to have to, like, jump through as many hoops and read as many books as I've had to. I just, like, want to, like, spread all this information so everyone can get to the epiphanies that I've reached.
Oh, I love that. Love that, love that, love that. And actually, you know, when you get to the point where you want to put it in a book, it's actually a quicker way to reach many people, isn't it, than just having conversations with one person, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely. And that's what's so lovely about this radio show that you've kindly allowed me to be on, is that it'll go worldwide on the internet. So that's just,
yeah, it's great.
Awesome.
And I was just
itself.
Saying that, you know, even if it starts off with, you know, our little circle of friends and, you know, my page and your page and various things, you know, it's on the internet forever, and somebody who's suffering next week or next month, you know, could just be looking for some inspiration or some help, and they could come across this show. And I always think back to when I was wanting some answers and wanting to discover things, just like you. When my journey was most challenging, I didn't have any of this. I didn't have any internet. I didn't have any, you know, like, oh, I'm going to listen to a radio show. And I always think of it as like, wow, it just becomes like this digital library for all of us. It's so accessible, and I love the fact that, you know, even though you and I are in England, that we can really make conversations with people wherever we are because of the web. And I say it so many times on this show, but it is really true. And I know that you think the same way, because you share so much with different people on a daily basis. So
yeah,
we're talking of epiphanies, though, because I know that you know, we all have them at different stages. What would you say, or particularly in the last couple of years, you know, arriving at Doreen Virtue's class where we met, and then you've come such a long way and you've written this book, and I know you have, you know, more in the pipeline. What would you say has been your biggest epiphany, at least in recent years anyway?
Oh, my goodness. There's two really, but one leads to the other. It was learning to slow down, learning to stop, and learning to look at the awe of life and the world. But obviously when you're in trauma with post-traumatic stress disorder and everything else that's going on, your head's going so fast just to keep you safe and protected and alive and away from fear and conflicts, that you're so busy and you're going so fast that you don't stop to notice the world or anything. You're just like petrified of anything going wrong. So therefore you just run to keep away from all the danger.
Right,
so for you it manifested itself
in actually just wanting to keep going and keep going and keep going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was actually learning to slow down and stop, which I did through meditation. And when people talk about meditation to me, I'm like, I used to be like, oh no, I don't do that. I can't sit still for 5 seconds and shut my eyes and think of nothing. People think you have to turn all your thinking off, which isn't the case when you like delve into the subject. And that was beautiful, yeah. Like learning to meditate and slow down and just appreciate the birds and the sunshine.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
It's like just a whole different world, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. You see everything in new light. And like, I remember when, when you're in trauma with PTSD and stuff, you tend to close yourself off from the environment. And I noticed when I started to slow down and just look around me, there were a lot more disabled people in my neighborhood, like people in wheelchairs and people on crutches and people with calipers and all different things that I hadn't really noticed before. And I thought, well, I'm the only one that's struggling here, and like everyone else just gets on with their life. My life is really difficult. But actually, if you stop and look, there are people in the same boat as you.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think, you know, I wouldn't say that I've had PTSD, but I understand what it's like to be in really challenging situations and to really feel like life is really, really difficult. And, yeah, it's absolutely true, because when you're in that space, you tend to, well, I guess it's, you know, like you said, partly coping and partly victim mode, you know, partly that mm-hmm. place in us that thinks, you know, we are the only ones suffering. You do tend to get into that place because it's the part of you that's trying to separate everyone from you, right? And you're you know, you're wanting, you know, almost to have this huge great answer as to why this is happening to you and why me, and you know, what is this all about? But actually, if you open your eyes and you actually see it as, okay, so what can I learn from this situation, or what am I really hearing right now, whether it's in my feelings or just in the outer world, if you start to, as you said before, expand your horizons and really look at the world around you, we're actually all on our own journey, aren't we? No mm-hmm. person, we go into comparison, don't we, like, oh, you know, I've suffered more than people. And of course mm-hmm. there's a difference between major trauma and a tiny, you know, day-to-day experience, but actually, we all have our stories and our journeys, don't we? And if we can open our eyes to that, things not only, you know, feel less of a burden, but we also realise that we're not alone in our suffering.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that, I really like that. Yeah, actually, I'm studying. I'm doing a course with Tony Robbins at the moment, and one of the things that he teaches is we need to learn to ask ourselves better questions, to like say to ourselves, well, what is the meaning of this? And like to ask the why. I'm everyone I meet, like on my spiritual path, always are like amazed, because I just want to know the why of everything. People just accept things at face value and never know why they're actually doing it, and then mm-hmm. they just do it and get angry because it doesn't work. And if you don't know why you're doing it or how you're doing it, then you can't really like get passionate about what you're doing.
Right, exactly. And I love that, because you are, you know, you have that kind of mind. Like, you, I always see your amazing posts, and you know, I know that you know, you're really great like that. You delve really deeply into things, and you know, you're really passionate about the power of the mind. And when you're that passionate about it, it is, you're right, it's that curiosity to understand yourself on a deeper level. And in mm-hmm. some ways, you know, that's what drives you forward and is, you know, able to help you to learn and grow. And also that other side of you, like you said, that sometimes can drive yourself crazy, and you need to just slow down and calm your mind.
Yeah.
So it can work both ways, can't it?
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, it can work both ways. But
so
like
what was
I've
the other
said,
what was the other lesson you said?
Well, I was just going to lead into that one as well. It's about awareness and being aware of who you are. So I've also just posted on my Facebook page 10 success Principles by Oprah Winfrey, and I think her fourth one was Work on Yourself and Know Yourself. And that's definitely something I put in this, in my latest book, is like self-awareness. But in order to do that, you need to slow down.
Absolutely, yeah, because as you say, it's just about really listening to yourself rather than going 5,000 miles a minute. Mm. Absolutely. So talking about that, because I love the fact that you've written this book, and you don't have to have had exactly the same journey as you to read
it and benefit
from it, do you?
No, absolutely not. I mean, like, it's just nuggets of wisdom that can, like, fit wherever, like, whoever you are, because we all suffer things, but maybe in different ways, but underneath it's the same underlying aspects as something else.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I mean, do you share your story in it, or is it mainly tips and pointers?
I have worked my story in there quite a bit, and, like, given it put things into context, because I've read a lot of books and they're never very personable. They, like, can kind of give you lots of case studies, and they go on and talk about, like, Mary did this, and you're thinking, well, I'm not Mary, and, like, I don't know Mary. But I feel that with this book, I've given the readers a chance to get to know me a little bit, and who I am in the beginning of the book, with my introduction and my story, and, like, obviously by reading my bio and listening to that, people will know me, and it's a bit more personable, rather than saying, well, case study number 12 or something, and you're thinking, well, that's not who I am, and who is she anyway to be telling me this? So, yeah.
Right, absolutely, and I think that's so important. You want to feel like you have a connection with what you're reading. You know, you want to feel that personal thing, because, you know, it, when you pick up a book, you want it to speak to you. And I think that is really important. So I'm so glad that you did that. I mean, if someone's listening right now and they think, you know, I've gone through a lot of trauma, I might even have PTSD, or I know that I do. Obviously, you know, I would highly recommend that they pick up the book. But is there any sort of tip, or one or two tips, that you could most share with people that you feel that, you know, either that you feel most important, mm-hmm. or that you, you know, that you're kind of feeling right now, that would be good to share?
Well, I just say learning to slow down and stop and meditate and actually allow where you are to be, and stop fighting where you are, what you're dealing with. If, like, you don't like it and it making you angry, just allow it to be. Like, sit back and allow it to happen, and don't fight it, because in the fighting we use up so much energy, and that energy needs to go towards our healing and powering our immune system and everything. Because when we're in fear, our cells can't be in growth and like making us like healthy. They're in like fear and protection mode. They shut off and they shut down, and we don't grow, we don't thrive, and then we feel bad. And
so it's like that mind body connection, just like you said, it just feeds into that, like, almost that panic mode, and then your brain and your body just goes into that fight or flight, and you can't actually do all the things that would be healthy for you, because your body's fighting so hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, because I've spent a lot of energy just trying to keep my life together, like, and not do anything. So I just, like, get angry and frustrated, and then argue, and then, like, get upset, and then cry because things aren't working out, or people are annoying me. Or so if you just, like, stop and relax. I know it's like I get frustrated when people say, oh, just slow down and take a breath and count to 10. And you think, I haven't got time for that. But when you actually allow things to unfold how they're supposed to be, then your brain can start seeing things in a different way. It's about perception. As Bruce Lipton teaches, who I've had the privilege of being a lecture with, spending a day at a lecture with Bruce. I mean, Bruce's work absolutely led me to discovering PTSD and just like changing my whole world, really, was through learning and reading about Bruce Lipton and finding his presentations on YouTube. And then I talk about this in my book about like just connecting the dots, and you've got to be proactive in this like healing journey.
It's yeah, like absolutely. Explore we are, things and we are a huge dots. Part of that, aren't we? And he's amazing. I mean, if anyone wants to learn about the mind-body connection, he's it really, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He's at the top of that field, yeah, as a cellular biologist. And then he went into a bit of quantum biology, and I looked at that, and, yeah, just look at a bigger picture.
Beautiful. And we also talked, I know we also talked about how important it is to feel supported, and it feels to me like the angels, you know, in, from my perspective anyway, I don't know about you, that are really wanting us to know that, you know, this is a really important time for us to be supported, whether it be with our books and projects like you're doing, or whether it just be a dream that we have in general. It could just be generally in our lives, calling on, you know, our tribe, so to speak, the people that we really resonate with. And that is a big part of also the healing journey, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. And what the angels are telling me is, and reminding me, is don't take it so personally. Don't take your woes personally. Like, people might say stuff to you, but they're not really aware of what they're saying and how it affects you. And we take it to heart, and then we get upset, and then it adds to our escalation of our trauma. But really, if we don't take things so personally, and then we can make our life a lot less stressful.
Absolutely. I was going to say, like, it's been a massive lesson of mine, you know, that we actually can't control what other people think of us. So we don't need to worry so much about what they're thinking, because really and truly, we can't do anything about that. There are always going to be people with judgments. But the more that we focus on the people that do support us and really doing the things that are supportive of us, whether it be in our own practice or reaching out for help, the more that we do that, actually, just like you said in the beginning of the show, that kind of the more that you notice the good in the world, and that there are people really like us, and that there are people willing to talk to you and to really look beyond all the challenges. And the more that I focus on that, the more that becomes true. I don't know about you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just like going to the coffee shop and holding the door open for someone, and they're like, oh, he was nice. Oh, and that like totally throws them, because we're not always in that type of environment where everyone's friendly. But and like,
oh, right, true. And exactly. And actually, it makes
someone
a huge difference to someone's life, doesn't it?
Yeah, and just being nice and smiling at people. It does scare them sometimes, but makes you feel good.
That's true. But I know which I'd rather do. I'd rather be smiley and help people, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, yeah.
I love that. So, I love that. That's such an important part. Would you believe it? We have like 1 minute or 2 minutes left of the show, and I want to make sure that people really can find you, James.
Wow.
And if they're interested in the book, I really recommend that you check it out. So please, can you share where people can look at you online, your website, your Facebook page?
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for this opportunity. So my book is on Amazon as a paperback and Kindle. And my website is I am James Gardner, and you spell Gardner GARDNER.com. And obviously you put www in front of that. And yeah, you can find me on Facebook. I'm known as an author and healer, James Gardner, on Facebook. I'm a coach. I do spiritual counseling and like lots of other different modalities, including EFT and angel therapy that I studied with Doreen Virtue with you. So, yeah, and I also offer a free 20-minute Skype consultation, so I can like connect with people and see where they're at and see if I believe I could work with them, or if I could help them or point them in a direction that I feel they need to go towards. Yeah, so that's a free opportunity there to get some help.
Beautiful.
As well.
I really recommend you do that, and it is a really great way, because I know sometimes these things can be really deeply personal and we don't know whether we resonate with someone. So take advantage of the free session with James, and then you can see whether he's right for you. But you have so many gifts, James. There's loads of things I could ask you, but it always goes so quickly. So we'll say goodbye for now, but I hope you'll come back and join us another time.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much. I don't know where the time's gone, but it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, James. And thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time with another amazing guest. Much love to you all. Bye-bye.